Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome. 11 a.m. service. How are you guys doing? All right. Oh, you know, a little bit better than 9 a.m., I guess, but they have an excuse. They don't have an excuse. No, they do, because they woke up earlier. You guys slept in for the most part, right? Anyway, I'm just messing with you. We're so glad that you're here. It's our second week of two services. Thank you all so much for helping us, you know, make this shift to two services seamless. I was talking to the staff last week, and it was just like we did two services, and it was like we always done two services because we have amazing people that serve here every single week. So just a quick shout out to you guys and the Moment Makers and all that good stuff. You guys are quiet today, huh? That's fine. I got a word for you. You're probably gonna be quiet for it as well. So anyway, we're in week two of our gospel series. Last week we kicked this thing off. We're going through, really, I talked about it last week, just this evangelism series. I shared some statistics and kind of what I've seen in ministry that we as a church, Big C Church in America, have moved away from evangelism, true evangelism, actually sharing the gospel. It's not just about inviting people to church and all that stuff, but actually going out and sharing God's word. So we kicked it off last week, and we're going through what we're calling the gospel in six words. And I want to share those six words with you. We're going to go through these every week, and my hope is that you will know them and be able to share them. So we started with God last week, that God created us to be with him. And then it goes into the O, and that our sins separate us from God. We're going to talk about that today. And then it sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone entrusted in him alone has eternal life. And then the sixth one is that life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. We gave you guys some resources last week as well to help you use this thing, learn this thing, know this thing, go out and share. The coolest one is this bracelet, the gospel bracelet. It says gospel on there, and you know, they are eye-catching. They're pretty cool. And our hope is that someone would see this and ask you about it. And when they do, we want to equip you to tell them about it. And so you should, if they say, well, what's your bracelet about? Well, it's the gospel. You can read the Bible and find all about it. No. We want you to share with them what the gospel is, to share the six words, to know that it's God, our sins, paying everyone life. Along with that, while we have the gospel in six words, the other thing that we talked about was there's this Life in Six Words app where you go on the app, and in this app, it helps you create your story in six words, choose six words, kind of, you know, weave your testimony in that, what God has done for you. You talk to someone else about what their six words might be, and then after you, you know, create this conversation and relationship, you can share the gospel in six words with them, help lay out the gospel, the truth of the gospel, that God loves them and paid for their sins and stuff like that. So we have the bracelets, we have the app. We gave out these books last week, the Life in Six Words books. These are all gone, and we went to buy more, but they're all sold out. So if you didn't get one, too bad. That's all. We don't have any. They're gone. They're cool books. And then we did the Bible plan as well, the Life in Six Words Bible plan. If you weren't here, you didn't get into that, we're going through that together as a church. If you'd like to, and I didn't do this last service, but if you'd like to, you can just write in there Life in Six Words Bible plan or LI6W Bible plan, and we'll send you out the link so that you can join us in just learning more about the gospel so that you can be equipped to share the gospel and tell people about the gospel and what it means. All right. Last week, really quick recap, we did the G. It stood for God. We talked about how we are created in God's image, that we were created for purpose, and ultimately that we were created for relationship. We read it earlier. God created us to be with him. I love Genesis 1:26, where it says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. We are made like him, like Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. It's really amazing. So God created us to be with him. We see that in the garden, and it was going to be amazing, and I just said it, but what happens? We find out in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 that God created us, and he purposed us, and he imaged us to be with him, but, and then we get to the O, our sin separates us from God. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, that our sin separates us, and we're really going to be unpacking that. I wanted to quickly just share two of the pages from this book that you guys can't get because they're gone. But you can at least read this with me. And so this goes into our sins and what happened. So it's going to be on the screen as well. It says this, when Adam and Eve sinned, Everything changed. For all of us, the Bible puts it this way. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. And that's Romans 5, 12. And it says, and ever since, people have been wrestling between right and wrong, often choosing evil, hurting themselves and others in small and big ways, from broken promises to mass murder. Some people question why God gave Adam and Eve this freedom to choose between good and evil. It was an incredible yet terrifying gift, but it was the gift that made love possible. For without the ability to freely choose, they would just be God's little robots, rather than unique individuals able to have a relationship with Him. So, sin entered our world through Adam and Eve's choice and messed it up. But it's not just their sin that messed things up, it's our sin too. Our sin has created a separation in our relationship with a perfect and holy God. So that's what we're going to be unpacking today, looking at Adam and Eve's sin, the original sin, and what that means for us and what that means for the world. Before we dive into all of this, let's pray. God, thank you for an amazing first service, amazing time of worship. Thank you for bringing us together, allowing us to meet in this space, to be in your presence and with other believers, learning and growing in who you are. God, speak. Allow your spirit to speak. Allow your word to speak, God, and convict us, challenge us, change us, transform us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about separation. We see this in the garden, Genesis 3, verse 23. This is right after Adam and Eve sin, and here's what God says. So the Lord sent him away from the Garden of Eden, which we know is paradise, right? This amazing place. The Lord sent him away from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Verse 24, at the very beginning, it says, he drove man out. So sin takes place, there's separation. I already talked about it, the garden. It represents, we call it this paradise, but what that is it represents the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, guess what that is? That is paradise. And so in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they got to be in an unstained relationship with their creator and their friend. And then what takes place is sin enters in. And it causes us to be separated from his presence. And I think maybe as you're going through this or you're hearing this for the first time, or maybe you've wrestled through this, you may ask the question, okay, this is God. God can do what he wants. He's all-knowing, all this stuff. How come sin separates us? Why does sin cause separation? So I'm going to kind of unpack answering that question, kind of giving you this and really two kind of main points, but unpacking both of those. And the first one is this, is that sin is separation because it's disobedience to God's directions. Sin is separation because it's disobedience to God's directions. Now we see that in Genesis 3, that they sinned and they got sent out. Isaiah 59 says the same thing. Our iniquities, our wrongdoing, our evil separates us from God. And so what this means is that choosing sin is turning on our back on God and what he has for us and heading in the opposite direction. Now, I was thinking about this just in our lives, and I was thinking about, just directions and God's directions and us taking directions, and I was thinking about how in this day and age, when we're going somewhere, when we're going to travel to a place, we can pull our phone out, we can type in the address, and it will take us there, right? We set it and forget it, and we just listen to the automated thing tell us where to go, and we'll follow it blindly, right? Like on The Office, it says to turn right, you turn right into the lake. You don't even care. Anyone? Office? No. Okay. So here's the deal. We have the directions. Man, it's laid out for us, and it's amazing. But back in the day, we didn't always have that, and so you'd either just have to get a map and follow the map, or you'd go on MapQuest, and you'd print out the directions and try to follow anyone. Yeah, oh, it was a lot of fun. And so here's the thing. What I've heard and what I've noticed is that guys tend to think that they don't need the directions. Anyone willing to say that they're guilty of that? Any wives willing to call your husband out and say that, yeah, it's okay. And so we're like, you know what? I know where to go. We'll figure it out. We'll find it, right? And the wife's over there like, no, just we have the map or we have the MapQuest printout, and now we have just listen to the person tell you where to go, and we won't get lost. And so what tends to happen, and kind of just tying this into what's going on, is we have what we need, and we either A, choose to not use it, Or sometimes, and this could happen too, we get disconnected from it. And so maybe, I don't know if you've ever been on a trip and you put the thing into the GPS, and as long as you keep it active, but if you lose service, it'll still take you there. But if something happens and you lose that, you can't get it back. Has that ever happened to you where you're like driving in your middle of nowhere and you lose directions and the lady can't tell you where to go, and you're like, okay, what do I do? I don't have the directions. I have been following this so blindly that I don't even know where I'm going or where I'm at right now currently. And so what do? You're like, well, I can just try to figure it out. Or in my sense, I'm like, I guess we go back and we find somewhere where I have connection and we get reconnected, right? Because otherwise you end up who knows where. And some of us guys would be like, we got this, and we end up nowhere, and then our wife ends up helping us. Anyway, I share all that to say that oftentimes in our lives, and really in this story, what happens is God gives us his direction. God gives us his command, and we choose to go our own way and to do our own thing. We choose disobedience, which is sin, and when we do that, we lose our way. Or, as the Bible says, we become lost, separated from the Father's love and his direction. So, in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, God gives Adam the direction, gives him the command. It's so simple. Here, he lays it out. And the Lord God commanded the man. He says, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden. Have at it, man. But you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so what's one simple thing. These are God's directions. Hey, look, see all this? Listen, go and enjoy. Go and explore. Man, have at it. However, I got this one tree. Don't touch this one. Don't eat from this one. Don't go in that direction, right? And what does Adam and Eve do? Oh, we got all this. You know what, though? This isn't enough. I wonder what's over here. And he goes in the wrong direction. And I believe we struggle with this on a daily basis. And you want to know why? It's because many of us, we think that we know better than God. Or some of us even think that we're missing out or that God is holding out on us. Like, why would God give us all of this but not this tree? There's got to be something special about this tree. I got to have this tree, right? And this is what the enemy does. He uses these thoughts that we think we know better than God or that God's holding out on us, and he tries to exploit it. And this is what he did in the garden. You know, and he shows up and he's there with Eve, and he's talking to her in Genesis 3, verses 3 through 5. He says, but about the fruit, and this is Eve talking, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. And here comes the enemy. No, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows, right, kind of calling God, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And there it is right there. That's the key component. Oh, if I eat from that tree, I get to be like him? And isn't that what we all want in our lives? We want to be God. We want to be in control. We think we know what's best. We think we know what's good for us. And so the enemy comes in, and he lies, and he tries to get us to believe that we can be God, that we don't need God, that God's directions really aren't good enough, and we should make our own. And so when we sin, we're saying that we believe that the direction that we want to go is better than God's direction for us. And this happens, we see it in the garden, but it happens in our daily lives every single day. The enemy lies to us about sin and the truth of sin and what that sin will do to us if we don't follow God's commands to stay away from those things. And it's all kinds of things. You talk about sexual sin and pornography and sex outside of marriage and same-sex relationships. Or you talk about overindulgence in eating and in spending and in working, where we like work, and then the enemy takes our like for work and he turns it into this idol where we become a workaholic and we kind of just take everything else and put it aside. It's overreacting to situations where we get angry and we speak out these hateful things. It's pride and thinking we're better than. And it's all of these things, these sins that, you know, the enemy takes and he says to us, hey, that thing, that's where you should find your identity. And this is the direction that you should go in. Don't worry about seeing what God has to say about what you're currently entering into, or that God's word already said to stay away from that thing. Just go after it. It'll be good for you in the end. And see, God gives us direction all throughout his word. Tells us what to avoid. Tells us what'll take place if we enter into those things. And if you want to see proof of that, I'm not going to do it right now. Go check out Romans 1. Go check out, we were in Galatians. Go check out Galatians chapter 5. I mean, literally, read the Bible, and you'll see God's commands. You'll see what God says. Hey, stay away from these things. They are not good for you. But we lie to ourselves. The enemy lies to us. The world entices us, and we decide to say, you know what? Let me just try and see if God's lying to me or not. Let me see if God's holding out. Everyone else says that these things are good and enjoyable, and so why should I have to miss out on them? And so we try to go our own direction. So Satan lies. He gets us to think or believe that God's directions aren't good for us, to believe that our directions, where we want to go, are what's best and is what's good for us. But here's the truth, and it's also found in Romans. Romans 3, verse 10 through 12. Here you go. You ready? There is no one righteous. Not even one. There's no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become useless. There's no one who does what is good, not even one. And if you were here last week, you're like, man, last week's message was so uplifting. And he shared about how God loved us and created us, and now he's really just bringing it on. It's hard, right? But this is the truth of the matter is that, yes, we are created in God's image, but we cannot ignore the fact that our sin separates us from him. I don't know where it's at in the Bible. Sorry about that. I didn't even look this up. But there's a moment where Jesus is out and he's doing his ministry. And someone comes up to him and says, good teacher. And he asks him a question. And then Jesus responds, why do you call me good? And what's he say? There's no one good but God alone. And this is the truth. This is what Romans is talking about. And what I'm trying to share here is that God is good. His leading is good. His direction is good. And anything counter to that is not good. So you have God who's giving you the direction and saying, hey, this one thing over here is not good. Everything else is good. Go towards this. And what do we try to do? We try to go towards the one thing because we think that will be good for us. And so what this does is when we believe the lie and we rely on self over God, guess what it does? It creates the separation from him. It creates this distance from him. Ultimately, he gives us the way. He tells us the truth. He tells us what to avoid. He gives us the direction. And choosing anything other than that, anything other than him, is us missing the mark, missing where he's leading. And that's what sin is. It's missing the mark, missing the bullseye. And here's when sin happens. Sin happens when we know exactly where to go, exactly what to do, having it all laid out, deciding to take a different route. In James, it says it's a sin to know what you ought to do and not do it. And it's a really bold thing, but God's destination for us, it's perfection. And that perfection, guess what, can only be found in him, in his presence, absent of sin. And so if we miss one turn, take one small detour, disobey his commands, disobey his direction, disobey his leading in any way, guess what, we sin. We miss the mark, and we don't make it to that destination. Because sin separates us, and we're all guilty of disobedience. So sin is separation because it's disobedience to God's direction. That's what God says. God says, if you don't follow my direction, that's disobedience, and that disobedience will lead to death. So I've given you the commands. I've given you my word. I've told you what you need to do. If you disobey, it is death. Go back to Genesis 2, 16 and 17. It says, and the Lord God commanded, directed him, you may eat freely from the tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, what's it say? You will surely die. You'll die. And this is the truth. It's been the truth since the beginning. It's all throughout God's scripture. It's the truth. Sin leads to death. Disobedience to God's word, to God's leading, to God's direction leads to death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And that's the truth. And it's spiritual death. It's a physical death. And really, the most important one is the eternal death, where we leave this place, and if we don't turn to his word and believe in who he is and turn back to him, we are eternally separated from him. The wages of sin is death. The truth of the matter is our world is broken, and it is sinful, and it's because of our sin, my sin and your sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's all of us. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, their sin problem became our sin problem. The same sin nature has been passed down to all of us. And we find this in Romans 5. I'm going to read you verses 18 and 19, but just the first parts of them. We're going to get to all of it in a minute. It says this in verse 18. So then, as through one trespass, that's sin, Adam's sin, there resulted condemnation for all men. One sin resulted in death, condemnation for all men. In verse 19, it says, for just as through one man's disobedience to do what? To follow God's direction, the many were made sinners. And so we have it right there. There was this one sin, this one trespass. It led to death. It led to us all being sinners. And you may read that. You may look at that. You may hear that and say, well, that's not fair. Why do I have to suffer for Adam and Eve's sin? Because the reality is this, is that Adam and Eve are a representative of all of humanity. Their story is your story. It's each of our stories. Romans 3, what did it say? No one is righteous, not one. And you can come back and say, well, you know, if Adam and Eve would have never sinned in the garden, it doesn't matter. If they didn't do it, you would have, or I would have. Listen, we don't become sinners because we sin. You ready for it? We sin because we're sinners. And I think that's a really important place that all of us need to come to. No one is good, not one. We sin because we're sinners. Think about this. Parents, how many of you, if you've been a parent, have ever had to teach your child to disobey? Anybody? Like, you're so tired of them being so obedient. You're like, you know what? Today you're learning, okay? I want you to come over here and not do this because I need you to be a disobedient child. Has anyone ever had to teach their child how to be disobedient? Because if you have, like, I want to know how you raise your child, you know? No one? The truth of the matter is, from the moment we are born, we are sinful by nature. We are disobedient by nature. Even in the garden, Adam and Eve, God didn't say, okay, I'm going to do this and I want you to be it. No. They chose it. We're all guilty of sin. Every single one of us. And our sin separates us from God. But not only that, and this is so important. So while the separation from God is like the worst thing, right? We don't want that. There's also another consequence. Disobeying God's direction also creates distance in all of our relationships. And I mean, we see this time and time again. And what tends to happen and what we see take place in the garden is the blame game. Like, we want to blame Adam and Eve. It's their fault that we're sinners, and I wasn't going to be bad, but they may be bad. So we try to blame them. You go back to, you know, the directions and the map and men and women, and the guy's like, I don't need a map. I know where I'm going. The woman's like, we're going to get lost just like every other time, and like, we're given the map, and we have the word, and we don't use it. And our wife's sitting next to us with the map and just saying, man, I really wish she would follow the map. Quick side note. This is kind of the state of Christianity today in America, where the men aren't willing to follow the map, to pull open God's word, to follow God's leading and follow God's direction, because they think that they can do it on their own strength, their own power, their own wisdom. And they're not leading their family spiritually. And the woman is over there with the map open, their face in the book, and they're praying and crying out to God, please draw my husband back to you so that he can lead us well spiritually. That's just a quick side note. I don't have time to really unpack that, but this is really important. Men need to be leading. Men need to learn to submit. Isn't this fun? To submit to the authority of their creator, their maker, and their sustainer, and stop trying to do it on their own. Anyway, let's get back. When we get lost, when we make mistakes, it's so easy to shift the blame. And we see it in the garden, right? So Eve eats the apple. God shows up. God's like, hey, what happened? And she's like, well, who's she blaming? Well, the serpent. This talking snake over here. That was probably a cool conversation. This talking snake over here told me to do it, right? You can't do that today. You can't try to blame a talking snake. Other things will happen. You might end up in a mental institute. So anyway, so Eve blames the talking snake. And then Adam is there, and God's like, Adam, what happened? And he goes, you ready for it? He said, God, it's that woman that you gave to me. Right? And in one fell swoop, who's he blaming? Adam is blaming Eve, his wife, and God at the same time. The audacity to do that. Man, I feel like he got smacked both sides by Eve and God. Just bam, like that, you know? This is blame game. Well, it's not my fault that I did this. It's their fault. Well, it's not my fault, so-and-so. Well, if you wouldn't have said I couldn't touch the tree in the first, you know, and we try to blame everybody else. And as we start the blame game, we start shifting the responsibility for our own actions, guess what that does with our relationships? It creates distance. It creates separation. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. We're all held responsible for our own sin and our own actions. And the sooner we begin to do that is the sooner we'll begin to reconcile our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. So, when we aren't following God's directions, our disobedience destroys our relationships with God and others. And it leads to even more disobedience because as the distance between us and God grows, we cannot live out the two greatest things that he calls us to. The first one is to love him. And so if there's distance and we're choosing sin over him, we're not loving him well. And as we're not loving him well, we aren't able to carry out the second greatest command to love others. So you see how disobedience, choosing to go your own way, to follow your own directions, to do your own thing, to, you know, carry out your own sinful desires, leads you away from God, and in doing so, causes separation between you and the people around you. Our disobedience affects all of our relationships. Look what happens in Genesis chapter 4. Cain and Abel, what takes place? A brother murders his brother. Sin affects all of our relationships. Marriages are a mess. Families are filled with strife. Relationships that become more centered around conflict than communication. And it's all a result of how sin separates us from each other. So, we have this separation. It's created from disobeying God's direction. Now, here's the good news. Ready? We're talking about sin, how we're all sinners. We need to know that. We need to understand that. Though we choose to obey, go a different way, and choose something other than what God says, and that sin separates us, guess what? The truth still remains that God created us to be with him. And so what that means is that the gospel, all of God's story, his story is one of reconciling us back to him, of getting us back to him because he created us to be with him and he wants a relationship with each of us. However, there's the problem of sin that we have to focus on. So sin is our problem. We've got to own up to it. But we are God's children. And guess what? He made a way. He made a way to remove the distance from our disobedience. And his name is Jesus. Romans 5, 18 and 19. I'm going to give you the whole thing now. And it says this. So then, as through one trespass, Adam's sin, there resulted condemnation for all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. So this is Jesus. His act of righteousness justified all men to him. And therefore, just as through one man's disobedience, his failure to hear, his carelessness, the many were made sinners, so through the what? The obedience of the one man, again, Jesus, the many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with him. So what's it say? Yes, you are sinners. We are sinners. But through Jesus, remember when I said no one is good, we're not good? Through Jesus, guess what? We are made good by him, through him. The greatest good about you is going to be Jesus within you. And when you have Jesus, you have his spirit. That's what brings you back into relationship with God. So you go from not good to good because of Jesus. You go from far to near because of Jesus. You go from separation to reconciliation because of Jesus. Because what? Because he came and he died for our sin, for your sin. He paid the penalty. He paid the price. And because of that, we are forgiven and we're brought back into relationship. Now, here's what's so important. I got to shift back again to the sin thing, because there are so many people that they'll hear about this. They'll hear about the gospel. They'll understand that Jesus came and he paid the debt for our sin and we're forgiven and we're free. And they're like, great, I can just keep on living in sin. Because it's paid for, right? He already did it. He did the thing. So I'm good. I recognize what he did. So I'm just going to keep doing this. But we can never forget that sin is what separates us from God. Our sin separates us from God. And so here's what Romans 6 says. Verse 1. 1 and 2 and then 12 and 16. What should we say then? We have this. We know this about Jesus. We know he reconciles us. We know he died and we are forgiven. Should we continue in sin so that the grace may multiply? Absolutely not. Because how can we who died to sin still live in it? Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. There's that key word. What are you obeying? And verse 16 kind of expounds on that. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey. So either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. You know what I love about this? It's one or the other. There's no gray area. There's no walking the line. There's no trying to tiptoe between sin and living for God. You either obey sin and go in its direction, or you obey God and you go in his direction. And so it's one thing to know who Jesus is and what Jesus did. It's another thing to understand completely that your sin is what put him there in the first place. The sin you've committed, the sin you will commit. Jesus was given to us by God to help us turn around. And we get this word repent from that, right? Where we're going one direction, we're headed towards sin. And repentance means that we turn away from whatever we were going towards and turn back to God. And we get that opportunity through Jesus. He helps us head in the right direction again, in God's direction. And it's not just a one-time thing. This is something that we've got to do every single day. Turn our back on sin, our fleshly desires, the worldly pleasures, and all of that stuff, and focus on him. Because we know disobedience leads to sin, sin leads to death. And so the opposite would mean that obedience leads us back to him and leads us into life. So what that means is every day we have to examine the choices we are making in the direction they're taking us. Like, really examine them. Sin will always take you in a direction that's opposite of God. So, we all sin. Our sin separates us from God. But praise Jesus, that's not the end, right? Because the good news, the promise of the gospel, is found in 1 John 1:9. You ready? If we freely admit that we have sinned, we got to recognize that we're sinners, right? And then we confess our sin. We confess it and we walk away from it. He is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, which is what I talked about, that God created us to be in relationship with him, and he will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his will and his purpose, not in conformity with his direction. And this is something that we've got to do and we've got to examine every single day. The promise is this, that though we sin, through Jesus, man, our service is restored. We have the signal again. We're reconnected. We're redirected, and our relationship with God is reconciled. I want to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. We're talking about our sin. And so I think we need to take a moment to examine what that means in our life. And maybe you've already started doing this. Maybe there is something going on in your life where you knew it. You knew something was taking you in a direction opposite of what God had for you. But I just want to maybe help you unpack this a little bit. So maybe today, like I've already said, you've heard the gospel. You know what the gospel, you believe in it. But even though you've heard it, even though you believed it, you just keep on living in sin. Maybe today for you, you struggle with sin being your problem. You're constantly blaming the things you're going through, your circumstances, your situation on everybody else. It can't be your problem. It's not your fault. And so you play the blame game. Maybe for you, it's just easier to ignore sin. We love to be encouraged. We love to be lifted up. We love all the verses that talk about how great and wonderful and how much God loves us. At the same time, we have a whole pile of sin that we're continually living in, and it's just easier to push it under the rug. Maybe today you have a false belief that because Jesus paid, that because you were forgiven, that he paid the debt, that you can just continue to live in sin. Or maybe God has given you clear directions in your life. He told you to step away from a relationship. He told you that that activity, that thing, whatever you're doing is not good for you and is going to ultimately lead to destruction of your relationship, of your health, of your emotional state. He gave you the directions. He showed you the signs. He has shared through one mean or the other that that's not going to be good for you, but you continue to go in that direction because that's what you wanted. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what sin you're struggling with or what you've had a really hard time letting go of since hearing about Jesus. But my prayer is today that through the Spirit, that he would convict, that he would point it out, and that you would respond by giving it to him. And turning around and saying, I don't want to go in any other direction but towards you, God. Whatever that sin, whatever it is, whatever that disobedience to his direction, turn around and give it to him. Turn around and close the gap. Get rid of that distance between you and God, because at the end of the day, the closer we are to him, the better we are for ourselves and for others. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you've heard about Jesus, and you've heard about God, but you're hearing the gospel presented today, and I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to it. Going through the gospel in six words, that God created you to be with him. However, your sin separates you from him. And that sin that you have, it can't be removed or taken away by good deeds or good things. It can only be done by one thing, and that is Jesus paying for it with his life. And through his payment and through his resurrection, he offers everyone new life in him who professes and confesses him as Lord and Savior of their life, and they will be given life today that lasts forever. If that's something that you want today, I want to walk you through a prayer right where you're at. Say, God, I believe you are good. At the end of the day, you have my best interest in mind, that you want to be with me. Today, I also understand that I am a sinner and my sin separates me from you. But you made a way through Jesus, through his death and resurrection. You've given me an opportunity to come back into your loving arms. So today I confess that I am a sinner, and I profess my love to your Son. God, right now we thank you for working and moving. We thank you for your word speaking. God, may we every day examine the choices we are making and the directions we are going, and God, make sure that they are in your direction. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.